Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center presents Doc Talk, an informative health series educating our community on the services provided at Peace Health. We will begin with our host, George Henry, after these messages.
With flu season just around the corner, now is the prime time to schedule your annual flu shot. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control recommend that everyone aged 6 months and older, and especially older adults, get vaccinated against the flu. Peace Health Medical Group in Florence has adult and pediatric flu shots available. Call 541-997-7134 to make an appointment for your flu shot today. It only takes a minute and helps protect you, your family, and the community this flu season. So call 541-997-7134 today.
I am a two-time breast cancer survivor and a big believer in mammograms. I do think they are very important. As a cancer survivor, the journey can be very difficult, but with the right people by your side, anything is possible.
At Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center, you have access to advanced technology and mammogram screenings with enhancements to ensure your comfort. Request your appointment today at peacehealth.org/yes-mamma, because beating cancer is our mission.
On our December edition of Doc Talk, we have a new practitioner in town. Melissa Adair is a DNP. She joined Peace Health Medical Group at Peace Harbor Hospital in late October. We're welcoming her now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Melissa, tell us a little bit about your background first. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Southern California, and then I moved to Wyoming for high school. After that, I spent about 17 years in Northwest Washington State, between Seattle and Bellingham. And then I moved to Princeton, New Jersey for a couple of years before returning back here to the West Coast.
Now, you went to Princeton, for your fellowship, right? In dermatology?
That's right.
Why did you choose Princeton? That's kind of a long way away from Washington State. Is that the best place to go?
It is a ways away. So there aren't very many options when you're as a nurse practitioner looking for a dermatology specific fellowship. And at the time that I was looking, there were actually only two options for fellowship positions: one in Boston, one in Princeton. So I was lucky to be selected for one of the fellowship positions in Princeton.
So what made you decide that healthcare was for you?
Well, ever since I was a kid, I've always been like fascinated by science. I was the kid with the science kit and the microscope and the bug collector with the magnifying glass on it. I was always out conducting experiments and that kind of thing. Hanging out in the grass, collecting insects, and hanging out in the grass wound me up with a pretty frustrating case of childhood eczema. So my parents took me to the dermatologist for that. And the dermatologist kind of became my hero because he got my eczema under control and allowed me to go back to being an amateur scientist in the yard. Then he also helped me quite a bit when I was a teenager and struggling with acne. So he made a pretty big impact on my life and inspired me to go into healthcare so I can combine my passion for science and get to help people like he helped me.
So you were
I'm sorry.
No. So you were one of those people from early on who knew exactly what direction you wanted to go.
I always knew I wanted to be in science in some aspect. And then, yes, from an early age, knew that I would like to go into dermatology in some aspect.
And so then you migrated back to the West Coast. What made you choose the Florence area?
I chose the Florence area because I had worked with Peace Health in Bellingham, Washington for many years there, and I was looking to rejoin Peace Health because I really enjoyed working with this organization, and I also was looking to get back into a setting that focuses more on the natural beauties of the world. And Princeton is a beautiful, wonderful place, but there isn't as much in the way of outdoor activity. So I wanted to move back here to be able to partake in that.
So you like things like hiking and stuff like that? Is that what I'm getting?
Yes, definitely.
Like the outdoors. That's pretty cool. I'm speaking with Melissa Dare. She is a doctor of nursing practice here at Peace Health Hospital, Peace Harbor Medical Center, and we're in the middle of Doc Talk. We'll be back in just a moment. With flu season just around the corner, now is the prime time to schedule your annual flu shot. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control recommend that everyone aged 6 months and older, and especially older adults, get vaccinated against the flu. Peace Health Medical Group in Florence has adult and pediatric flu shots available. Call 541-997-7134 to make an appointment for your flu shot today. It only takes a minute and helps protect you, your family, and the community this flu season. So call 541-997-7134 today.
I am a two-time breast cancer survivor and a big believer in mammograms. I do think they are very important. As a cancer survivor, the journey can be very difficult. But with the right people by your side, anything is possible.
At Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center, you have access to advanced technology in mammogram screenings with enhancements to ensure your comfort. Request your appointment today at peacehealth.org/yes-mama because beating cancer is our mission.
I have the pleasure of speaking with Melissa Adair on this edition of Doc Talk. She is a doctor of nursing practice at Peace Harbor Hospital here. She's been here since October. Now, you told us a little bit about why you went into dermatology. Let's talk a little bit more about why people seek out a dermatologist. What are some of the common reasons? I mean, you mentioned a couple of them when we started off.
So common reasons that people would seek out dermatology would be things like skin lesions. So a specific skin lesion they're worried about. Oftentimes people will come in for a skin cancer screening exam, so as a preventative measure or early detection of skin cancers. Also acute rashes, like say an allergic type of rash, or chronic rashes like eczema or psoriasis, those types of things, acne, rosacea.
Now, when you talk about eczema and stuff like that, do we know the common causes of that, or is this mainly something that we treat until it goes away, or is there diet or something involved? What kind of things bring on conditions? I know you said you got it playing in the grass.
Yeah, it can be variable. So it's our immune system that's regulating these conditions, and in different people, the immune system can become fired up for different reasons. So like with eczema, you know, it's on a spectrum with asthma and like seasonal allergies. So those types of things can play a role. Sometimes it's food, but that's more rare that food would play a role for eczema. Food probably has more of a role in psoriasis and psoriasis flares than, you know, things like stress and different medications and that kind of thing can also contribute to those conditions.
So eczema is not necessarily fungal then, or is it?
There's typically not a fungal element to eczema. It's an immune system or with what we would call like a true eczema, like we call it like atopic dermatitis. That is something that is being regulated by our own immune system and typically there isn't any sort of fungus overgrowth or anything like that.
Now, people, when they hear dermatology, they obviously think skin, but there are some more aspects to it than that. Can you talk a little bit about the relationship to hair and nails with dermatology?
So many of the inflammatory skin conditions will also affect the nails and cause nail changes or affect the hair. Sometimes inflammatory conditions can cause different forms of hair loss or scalp inflammation. So definitely all of these things are connected.
Now, I remember my sister having a really bad case of a rash, and I think it was eczema, but it was all around her fingers, and it did affect her nails. Is that sound like something that would be caused by eczema?
That could be caused by eczema, or oftentimes we'll see something that we've come into contact with that's causing, you know, a contact irritant reaction will cause acute changes to, you know, the hands and, or to the skin on the hands and to the nails there as well.
Now, one of the things that you mentioned growing up, and I think a lot of us had that same experience where we had a bout of acne or we had, you know, some, maybe some skin rash or something like that. And obviously as a kid, you know, it makes you feel kind of awkward. What are some of the causes or things that happen in youth growing up that cause acne?
So hormone changes are probably number one. You know, we typically see the worst acne or the, you know, the biggest development of acne after or at puberty when people are having a lot of hormone changes. Diet can play sort of a minimal role in acne, and so we usually advise people to stay away from like sugars and fried foods and some low-fat dairy, that type of thing. And bacteria can play a role as well, and just having like extra skin buildup can also play a role in acne.
So you really can't help the hormonal part of it, right? Not too much. I mean, that's a process that's going to take place no matter what you try to do.
Right. There are some medications that are geared toward controlling the hormonal aspect, but you're right. So, you know, we can't stop that hormonal influence.
Well, as a kid, the only thing I remember using was hydrocortisone cream. Are there new treatments? Are there new ways today that are maybe a little bit better?
Definitely. Acne is something that a lot of people are interested in, and new acne treatments are constantly coming out. You know, typically it'll just be kind of a new take on an old medication where they change the way that an old medication penetrates the skin or something like that. But this year we actually got three new acne medications on the market. One is a new topical vitamin A type of medication. We also got a new antibiotic foam for acne, and we got a topical anti-hormone medication. So that's pretty exciting for new developments for acne this year. And of course, there are a bunch of different oral medications that are in use these days. So there are a lot of different treatments for acne.
Do you see a lot of cases of adult acne, or is that something maybe not as regular as, you know, the youth-oriented stuff?
I do see a lot of cases of adult acne. It is quite common. I would say tends to lean more a little bit towards women and like a hormonal type of acne in adults who are having acne. But that's not to say that men can't have acne as well when they're adults.
Is it a later in life thing, or is it midlife when you see most of it?
I would say midlife, usually like late 20s or 30s range, or possibly sometimes you know, as we're going through hormonal shifts, like women in, you know, their 50s, that range, I tend to see a lot of acne developing.
I'm speaking with Melissa Dare. She is a doctor of nursing practice, and she specializes in dermatology. She's new to Peace Harbor Hospital here since October. We'll be back in just a moment. With flu season just around the corner, now is the prime time to schedule your annual flu shot. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control recommend that everyone aged 6 months and older, and especially older adults, get vaccinated against the flu. Peace Health Medical Group in Florence has adult and pediatric flu shots available. Call 541-997-7134 to make an appointment for your flu shot today. It only takes a minute and helps protect you, your family, and the community this flu season. So call 541-997-7134 today.
I am a two-time breast cancer survivor and a big believer in mammograms. I do think they are very important. As a cancer survivor, the journey can be very difficult. But with the right people by your side, anything is possible.
At Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center, you have access to advanced technology and mammogram screenings with enhancements to ensure your comfort. Request your appointment today at peacehealth.org/yes-mama because beating cancer is our mission.
On this edition of Doc Talk, I'm speaking with Melissa Adair. She is a doctor of nursing practice at Peace Harbor Hospital here in Florence. She's been here since October, and she's getting her feet wet. That's accurate, aren't you? You're getting your feet wet?
Oh, yes.
So one of the other aspects of dermatology that you deal with is skin cancer, correct?
Correct.
How common is skin cancer?
It is very common. So skin cancer is the most common cancer in the United States. It's estimated that 1 in 5 Americans will develop a skin cancer in their lifetime. Most of those will be the more common, like what we call non-melanoma type of skin cancers, like a basal cell skin cancer, squamous cell skin cancer, which affect about 3 million Americans every year, actually, so very common. And then, you know, melanoma, which is the most concerning and deadly type of skin cancer, is less common, but there are still about 200,000 cases of melanoma diagnosed in the U.S. each year.
Now, with the cases that are non-deadly, is it necessary to receive treatment for those, or do you necessarily know that they're non-deadly until you get treatment?
Whenever there's a skin lesion that is concerning in appearance, I recommend doing a biopsy so that we can see what it is exactly. And so the biopsy would get sent to the lab. The pathologist would tell us what exactly it is, and then we can kind of guide treatment based on that. There are, you know, some of the non-melanoma skin cancers can be very concerning and have more of an aggressive type of behavior. So I always recommend treating these non-melanoma skin cancers as well. They're even with the less aggressive forms of the non-melanoma skin cancers, they can metastasize to other parts of the body if left alone long enough. So it's better to treat them early.
So I'm a person who's got a lot of freckles all over me. So over time, I don't really notice much change in anything. What are some of the warning signs? What are some of the things that I should look for if I was concerned maybe about having an issue?
So warning signs of a non-melanoma skin cancer, such as a basal cell or squamous cell skin cancer, would be something like a pink, rough or raised spot, a rapidly growing bump, a spot that looks like a pimple that doesn't go away, or any lesion that bleeds. Those would be worrisome for a non-melanoma type of skin cancer. And then warning signs of a melanoma skin cancer, typically we refer to this as like the ABCDEs of skin cancer. So you'd be watching for moles that are changing in symmetry. So A is for asymmetry, where one half of the lesion looks different than the other half. B for border, where the mole may develop like an irregular or poorly defined border. C for color, when you have color variation throughout a lesion, a mole, where maybe parts of it look tan, brown, black, blue, red, white, they can be all different colors, so that would be worrisome. D for diameter, so anything greater than 6 millimeters or the size of a pencil eraser is something that we'd want to check out. And E for evolving, so a mole that looks different than the rest of your other moles, something we call like an ugly duckling, where it just looks really different than the other moles that you have, or if it's changing in size, shape, or color.
Now, would that be different than say, a skin tag?
Yes. So a skin tag, I guess that we would still obey these rules of change for something like that, just because if something's changing in color or shape or that kind of thing, then we'd want to have it checked out. But, I use a device in the clinic called a dermatoscope, and I can look at, and it is device that has a magnification. It can see actually underneath the surface of the skin, and it has a light source on it. So I can use that tool to help determine, you know, is this just a skin tag or is it something more worrisome? And we can go from there.
Now, obviously, I'm from the desert Southwest, so I always knew to stay out of the sun for extended periods of time. But what are some other ways that people can, what are some other things people can do to prevent skin cancer?
So sun avoidance or sun protection are really the best way to prevent skin cancer. And avoiding indoor tanning beds, making sure to wear SPF 30 or higher if you're going to be sun exposed, wearing sun protective clothing, those types of things. Those are really the best ways to prevent skin cancer.
Should everybody at some point in their life have a skin cancer screening?
I would recommend that. So the recommendation from the American Academy of Dermatology is that skin cancer screening should be done once yearly in those who are kind of just normal average risk, and more frequently in people who have a history of skin cancer or like a first degree relative with a history of melanoma, that type of thing. So yes, I would say everyone should have a skin cancer screening at some time in their life.
So if you discover something on someone, are you the same person who will remove that, or is that then go to a different level of care?
It really depends on what the lesion is. I can take care of a lot of skin cancers here myself, but there are lesions that are skin cancers that occur in like cosmetically sensitive areas, like on the face or the neck or areas like that, where I would refer to have those taken care of by our Mohs surgeon in Eugene. Or with larger lesions, sometimes they need to go for different treatments by the surgeon.
So I have to admit, one of the reasons why I love doing this program is every now and then I'll come across somebody where I can ask a question that pertains directly to me, and this is one of those cases. You mentioned that you have something that may look like a pimple or a bump, you know, and I've had something that has been on my temple that has been growing. I guess that's probably something I should have looked at, right?
That is definitely something you should have looked at, yes.
Okay, so then we go, tell me how people can make an appointment with you, and then that'll kind of give me an idea what I need to do next.
So to make an appointment with us, you would just call the office here, the Peace Health Dermatology. So you could call the main number for the medical center, and they'll connect you to us. And we are open Monday through Thursday, and we see people from 7:20 till 4:20 every day. And right now we are requiring a referral from primary care, just because of the that's the way the current process is. That may change at some time in the future. And right now we're still getting started. This is just our second week open here. And so we should be able to get you in fairly quickly if you call to make an appointment.
Now, if someone doesn't have a primary care provider, can they go through the clinic in order to get an appointment with you?
I believe so. And forgive me because I don't know all the details of this piece of it. But I think that we can arrange them. So if you called and that was the case, then we could work on getting that through.
So if someone wasn't sure, they could call the clinic first and they could verify that. Okay, cool. Now, where's your office located?
We're located in the 390 building next to urgent care or the walk-in clinic.
Okay, cool. Now, you mentioned that you can probably get people in fairly quickly because you haven't booked up yet.
Right.
Is there anything people need to do in the era of COVID-19 before they come visit you? Do they need testing before they come in?
No, we do some general screening and just ask about COVID exposure and that type of thing, and check temperatures when coming into the office. But you don't have to be tested in order to come in.
Okay, as long as you're not showing any symptoms, then you'll do temperature and that.
Right.
Okay, cool. I'm speaking with Melissa Adair. She is at DNP. She joined Peace Health Medical Group at Peace Harbor Hospital in late October. She is awaiting your call at 541-997-7134. Melissa, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Doc Talk, presented by Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. For more information on the program and services provided, visit peacehealth.org.